You're listening to the Breeders' Cup World Championships on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence and visitbarbados.org.
Here's Magic Wand, who comes to take on Bandua with a furlong to go. And Bricks and Mortar is charging hard. It's Bricks and Mortar took the lead from Magic Wand and Bandua. Bricks and Mortar are Rad Ortiz Jr. for Chad Brown with an unprecedented Arlington Grade 1 hat trick today. Bricks and Mortar has won it. Magic Wand, Robert Bruce, next with Bandua. Following them home was Captivating Moon with Intelligent, Pavoine, Tatooine DA, and Hunting Horn. Bricks and Mortar, 159.44 for Chad Brown. Bricks and Mortar has won again.
That's John Dooley with the call of the Grade 1 Arlington Million at Arlington Park in Chicago on August 10th. Bricks and Mortar remaining perfect here in 2019. Now 5 for 5. He's won 10 of 12 lifetime starts, and he figures to be the favorite in the upcoming Breeders' Cup Turf. Currently at odds of 4 to 5 with 15 minutes to post. He is in the saddling area now, as are all of the other rivals he will face. It is a field of 12, and we'll tell you more about what the defeat of Midnight Bisou may mean for Bricks and Mortar and what's on the line for him coming up in just a moment. 7 races down, 2 to go. The Breeders' Cup Turf and the Breeders' Cup Classic. The horses moving into the walking ring now for that Breeders' Cup Turf. It is jam-packed out there in front of us. We can see all the people. One person we can't see is our Ashley Mayhew. Ashley, I know you're out there somewhere.
I'm in the paddock right now, standing alongside Dean Reeves, who has a part of Channel Maker, trained by Bill Mott. How's it feel to be here today, Dean?
Oh, it's always nice to be at the Breeders' Cup on a big day like this. Great weather, great crowd. It's just exciting.
How do you feel about Channel Maker coming into this race? You know, he does have one win this year, and that was in the Man of War, but he's been running very nicely, especially last time out at Belmont.
Yeah, he's been very competitive. I mean, he's right there each time. A little worried about our outside post, but if he can get a good break, I think we'll be okay.
All right, thanks, Dean. Good luck.
Yeah, bye.
Yeah, Dean Reeves, the mucho macho man, as they like to call him when he returns here to Santa Anita.
Yeah, for good reason. Owned that horse who posted that tremendous win in the Breeders' Cup Classic a few years ago. What, about 5 or 6 years ago?
Yeah.
And you remember the prior year, he was runner-up to Fort Larned. And the HRRN crew, we were leaving the grounds late that night, and Mucho Macho Man was grazing. He was eating some grass outside his barn. And you remember how tired he was? I mean, he had put it all on the line in that runner-up effort. Just came up a few feet shy and then came back to win the next year.
Yeah, one of the more memorable finishes here at Santa Anita in the Breeders' Cup Classic. Mucho Macho Man. So, so good. All right, the Breeders' Cup Turf, purse of $4 million, grade one, mile and a half on a turf course here, which means it'll start at the base of the downhill turf course here at Santa Anita. The horses will immediately make a left-hand turn and loop around, cross over the main track, dirt surface, and then they'll be on the main turf course in front of the grandstand and clubhouse area. At that point, they'll run through the stretch, past the finish line, make one lap around, and they'll finish up right in front of a packed house here at Santa Anita this afternoon. A 12-horse field awaits the starter in just 12 minutes. They are in front of us in the walking ring, so let's go ahead and meet them now. Number one is Zulu Alpha, who is owned by Michael Hui. Mike Maker is the trainer. Jose Ortiz will be aboard this afternoon.
This horse has won at today's distance of a mile and a half at three different racetracks in the last year.
25-1 on Zulu Alpha. Number two is Acclimate, owned by the Elwood Johnston Trust and Timmy Time Racing. Phil D'Amato, the trainer. Martin Garcia, the jockey.
This is a California-bred, 4 wins over the local turf course from 8 to 13 furlongs.
Big price, though. He's on the board at 25-1. Number three is United, sent to the post by Hall of Famer Richard Mandela for owners LNJ Foxwoods. Flavian Pratt is in the irons.
This is a horse with a sweet personality, one of the gentlest horses in the stable area, but he's in tough today. He's never won a stakes race.
United is 35-1. Number four, the Irish-bred Mount Everest. Flaxman Holdings, Mrs. John Magner, Michael Tabor, and Derek Smith, the owners. Aiden O'Brien, the trainer. He'll give a leg up to jockey Wayne Lorden.
Trying to keep it all in the family, the horse's mother, Six Perfections. She won the Breeders' Cup Mile on the Santa Anita turf some 16 years ago.
Mount Everest, a big price at 30-1. Number five is another Aiden O'Brien trainee here in the turf. It is Anthony Van Dyke, Irish bred, owned by Mrs. John Magner, Michael Tabor, and Derek Smith. Ryan Moore is aboard.
Was the favorite last year at Churchill Downs for the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. disappointed finishing ninth.
6-1 on Anthony Van Dyke. Number 6, Channel Cat, racing in the black and gold colors of owners Calumet Farm. Todd Fletcher trains. Luis Saez is aboard.
This is a horse who has shown the ability to pull an upset. Won the Bowling Green at Saratoga over the summer at 13-1 odds.
And he's on the board right now at odds of 25-1 is Channel Cat. Number 7 in the 12-horse field, that is Alunac. Darius Racing, the owners. Valdemar Hicks is the trainer, and Clement Lecovar is the jockey.
And overall, Alunac has struggled at today's distance of a mile and a half. 4 tries at the distance, he's never won.
Yeah. Alunac on the board at 35-1. Number 8, that's Bandua. Calumet Farm, the owner. Jack Sisterson, the trainer. Tyler Gaffalione is in the irons.
Bandua, last start, ran at a distance of 1 mile, and today decides to stretch out and try a mile and a half. We'll see if it works.
Yeah, tote board reading 40-1 on Bandua. Number 9, your favorite. That's Bricks and Mortar, racing in those white and red colors of Klarovich Stables and William Lawrence. Chad Brown trains. Irad Ortiz Jr. aboard.
This has been a project horse. He has battled injury. He has been a rehabilitation project that has paid big dividends. Trainer Chad Brown, this horse missed nearly all of 2018. He's bounced back in style 5-for-5 at the highest level this year.
He is now even money as Bricks and Mortar. Number 10, that's British bred Old Persian, racing for Godolphin. Charlie Appleby trains, and William Buick is the man aboard.
Now beware here, Charles Appleby. High percentage in the Breeders' Cup. 6 career starters. 3 times he's won.
Getting some play, too. Second choice now at 4-1 is Old Persian. Number 11, the hard-running Arklo. Donegal Racing, Joseph Bulger, and Peter Conway are the owners. Brad Cox, the trainer. Javier Castellano, your Hall of Fame rider.
He gets the call because regular pilot Florent Giroux is recovering from an injury.
On the board at 7-1 is Arklo. And the outside horse, number 12, that is Channel Maker. Bill Mott, the Hall of Fame trainer for owners Gary Barber, Watchtell Stable, R.A. Hill Stable, and Reeves Thoroughbred Racing. Hall of Famer John Velasquez will handle the reins this afternoon.
Channel Maker hoping for a different outcome this year. 1 year ago, when this race was contested at Churchill Downs, he was beaten 42 lengths.
Yeah, big price due from the outside post at 18-1. That's the field for the Breeders' Cup Turf. Now just 8 minutes away. The horses are indeed on the turf course. They'll make those final preparations. We'll go to Frank Miramonti for the call. But first, let's go over to our Dan Mason for a report from the Big Data Machine.
Big Data Machine is working hard, a little tired after the day, but still working hard. They say, Big Data Machine says, if the Euros are going to do it, it's going to be this race because they own this race. 16 of 20 in the last 20 years. And Aidan O'Brien has won 4 of 4, make that 1-4 of his last 8. And he has 2 entries in here today, Mount Everest and Anthony Van Dyke. Now, point 2, favorites generally don't win this race. It happened with Enable last year, but you got to go all the way back to 2009 for Conduit before you see it again. So good chance we could have a long shot. Good chance it's going to be a Euro long shot.
Not good news for our favorite in here, Bricks and Mortar, who is on the board at even money. Coming up, can the Europeans hold serve here in the Breeders' Cup turf, or will the Americans find a way to defend their home soil? You're listening to the 36th Breeders' Cup World Championships on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence and visitbarbados.org.
You're listening to the Breeders' Cup World Championships on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence and visitbarbados.org.
Down the home straight, Sovereign and Norway coming back to the field. Circus Maximus to Dragonet on the outside. Mad Moon is right there now inside the final 2 furlongs. Mad Moon and Sir Dragonet chased by Broom in third. Then Anthony Van Dyke down the outside. Japan is running on well. Mad Moon and Sir Dragonet fighting it out. Anthony Van Dyke on the far side. Inside the final furlong, Anthony Van Dyke, Sir Dragonet and Mad Moon racing up towards the line. On the near side, Japan with Broom. Anthony Van Dyke has won it. Anthony Van Dyke is another win in the Derby for Ballydoyle, a Ballydoyle bonanza. Real close for the Miners. Japan out wide of Broom, Sir Dragonet and Mad Moon. Very close to second, third, fourth and fifth.
Big effort from Anthony Van Dyke. That was in June at Epsom in Great Britain. a big win in the Grade 1 Investec Derby. He's hoping to duplicate that performance here in the Breeders' Cup turf in just 3 minutes here at Santa Anita. Welcome back, Mike Penna, Kurt Becker, Dan Mason, Bobby Newman, and Ashley Mayhew bringing you all the coverage. Well, Bobby, if Anthony Van Dyke can win it, one of two trained by Aiden O'Brien in the Breeders' Cup turf, he's going to just add to Aiden's record in here. Aiden has won this race six times, more than any other trainer, and Anthony Van Dyke looks like he has a good shot to make it number seven here today.
Guys, in my best Irish accent, I don't believe the American punters are really giving good respect to Anthony Van Dyke. He did win on a firm turf four starts back in the Group 1 Investec Derby, and he's getting the firm turf today. 3-1 in the early pricing, but he's 5-1 right now in the wagering, and I just think that is too big of a price for Ryan Moore ridden trainee. So Anthony Van Dyke definitely worth a few shekels as they go down the hill here at Santa Anita. But all seriousness, I do like Anthony Van Dyke in this spot. All of the horses now up on that hillside turf course. This is one of the rare distances they still run down the hill a little bit here at Santa Anita. Not all the way up to the top of the hill where they used to run those about 6.5 furlong races, but just down a few furlongs, and they're going to start where they go about a 16th of a mile straight, and then they have a huge sweeping left-hand turn that culminates crossing the main track here and then back onto the turf course. So they're going to actually be turning for about 2.5 furlongs shortly after the start. So those outside posts for this mile and a half turf distance here at Santa Anita are really disadvantageous. So riders aboard number 9, Bricks and Mortar, number 10, Old Persian, Arclo, Channel Maker, they're really going to have to work out good trips not to lose too much ground shortly after the start of the race. Bricks and Mortar looked a picture of perfection as he warmed up on the turf course. And this is really his show right now, with Midnight Bizou not getting the victory in the Breeders' Cup Distaff about a half hour ago. If Bricks and Mortar wins this race today, he is a hands-down solid favorite to be Horse of the Year.
You know what was most authentic about the Irish accent? Bobby got it right. If you go to Europe, it is Anthony Van Dyke. I got in so many arguments with my fellow Americans last year because Anthony Van Dyke was a painter, I think an impressionist painter. And if you go to Europe, his name is pronounced Anthony. You don't say the H. My fellow Americans told me I've got way too much time on my hands if I'm worried about that.
Hey, yeah. Bobby.
I'm here.
Aye, mate.
Let's just hope I get it right and I don't have to take a slow boat back to Ireland, my friend.
I like the way you worked in the word shekels, too. That's always good. All right, loading into the starting gate for the Breeders' Cup turf. We know who Bobby likes. We know who Ashley likes. She likes Arclo. I will go with Arclo as well. Kurt, how about you?
I'm going to go with Old Persian.
Dan?
I'm with Bobby. I'm going to go with Anthony Van Dyke.
All right. Well, there you have it. They are loading into the starting gate now. Again, mile and a half journey on the way. When they come out, they're going to make that sharp left-hand turn and then wind their way toward the top of the home stretch, make one lap around, and finish up right in front of the jam-packed grandstand and clubhouse. This is Breeders' Cup Saturday, the Breeders' Cup Turf, the race before the Classic. Right now, here's Frank Miramati on HRRN.
Arclo reared in the gate. And Javier Castellano is going to have to climb back aboard. He's doing just that. Back in line. Once again, Arclo very restless in the gate. He has actually unseated Javier Castellano twice now. And Javier goes right back aboard. And they're off in the Longines Breeders' Cup turf. Acclimates, white blinkers go right to the front. Bandua is up close to the early stages, and so is United. Bricks and Mortar is only three lengths off the speed as they move down the hill. Anthony Van Dyke is racing just inside of him. The lead belongs to Acclimate, who opens up a length and a half. Bandua is in second, and then it's United in third. Channelmaker is fourth. He's on the outside of Bricks and Mortar. Arclo a bit headstrong outside of that pair. Old Persian is next, followed by Anthony Van Dyke, who's down on the inside, approximately six lengths off the lead. as they get to the main course. Mount Everest, and the white cap is down on the inside. Alunak with the pink sleeves is there as well. Old Persian having to steady just a bit. He's on the inside still of Arklow. It's another two back to Channel Cat, and Zulu Alpha's at the back of the field. They have a mile left to go in the Longines Breeders' Cup turf, and the pace setter is acclimated. He's in front by a length to Bandua, who's racing in second. United third. Bricks and Mortar racing in between horses, and Channelmaker is just outside of him. This group is followed by Anthony Van Dyke, Alunak next to him, Old Persian, a four wide Arklow, another length back to Channel Cat, who's eight lengths off the speed, and Zulu Alpha biding his time at the back of the field. Acclimate, almost two lengths in front, making their way onto the backstretch with Bandua in second. Then comes Channel Maker inching up outside of United. Bricks and Mortar is still in hand while racing in traffic a bit. Arklow is just outside of him. Then it's Old Persian and Anthony Van Dyke still right together. Alunak is next, about seven or eight lengths off the speed. Channel Cat inches up just a touch outside of him. Down at the rail, Mount Everest is second to last, and Zulu Alpha is asked to run now. Around the far turn, Acclimate, Bandua, they've been 1-2. Bandua's now on even terms with him. Then it's United in third. Channelmaker is in fourth. Anthony Van Dyke coming through on the inside. Arklow is four wide. Bricks and Mortar has four lengths to make up. Alunak on the fence. Bricks and Mortar now gets a seam, and he's going to be cut loose with a furlong left to go. Here comes Bricks and Mortar on the outside, and he is finishing with a flourish. Bricks and Mortar storms to the front. United running a giant race, but it's Bricks and Mortar bringing his brilliance to the biggest stage to win the Longines Breeders' Cup Turf. Second went to United.
What a storybook ending to the Breeders' Cup Turf for Bricks and Mortar, a horse that had been through so much in his career, has climbed back to the top of the mountain. He is going to go undefeated here in 2019, and he caps it off with a thrilling stretch run to run down the Ultra Game United, get to the wire first here in the Breeders' Cup Turf.
There's your horse of the year. Case closed. There'll be debate, there'll be discussion, as there should be, but he is your horse of the year. They call this racing's championship day for a reason. And when you suffer a loss on this day, on the one hand, as we saw with Midnight Bizou, valiant in defeat as she was, and then the next race, here comes Bricks and Mortar. He steps up to the plate, a huge stretch run, mows down the field, coming down the stretch. He closes the season with a perfect record. If Bricks and Mortar is not Horse of the Year, there's something bad wrong with the voting process.
Yeah, I don't know how he's not. And again, there will be debate. And
sure,
we still have the Breeders' Cup Classic yet to come, but we touched on it earlier. We said it was going to be Midnight Bisou or Bricks and Mortar who could almost slam the door shut and cement their case for Horse of the Year. Midnight Bisou came up a bit short. Bricks and Mortar did not. He did everything he had to do here today. He has not raced on dirt here in 2019, and the critics will say, well, wait a minute, he's just a turf horse. They said the same thing about Cotijan.
Right.
He was Horse of the Year, too.
That's true, and you look at other horses in the discussion. Mattoli went 6-for-7 on the year. Midnight Bizou, 7-for-8 on the year. This horse, 6-for-6. He did it on yielding ground, good turf, firm turf, 1 3/16, a mile and an eighth, 1 1/4. And then there were people who said he'll never get the 1.5. You can't have it both ways. If you're going to put him to that kind of test and say he's got to prove he can get the 1.5, he did it. He darn well did it. And as far as this observer is concerned, it is case closed. Bricks and Mortar should be Horse of the Year.
Final running time, 224.73 for the firm 1.5-mile journey here this afternoon in the Breeders' Cup Turf. Bobby Newman is trackside. Bobby, how special was this effort here today?
Super special. Let's not forget that trainer Chad Brown and owners Klarovich Stable and William Lawrence weren't sure if they were going to go in the Breeders' Cup Mile or the Breeders' Cup Turf, because this horse is more of a 1.8-mile, 1.25-mile runner. Well, there are no 1.8-mile or 1.25-mile turf races in the Breeders' Cup to choose from, so he either had to shorten up to the Breeders' Cup Mile or lengthen out to the 1.5-mile Breeders' Cup Turf, and those who didn't like him at odds of even money probably were concerned about the extra distance, but as it turned out, he needed every bit of that mile and a half today to get up. And what an absolutely spectacular ride given by jockey Irad Ortiz Jr., who always seems to be in the right spot in these turf races. And as you said, I think it's a slam dunk now for Horse of the Year voting.
And for Chad Brown, who seems to win every big race under the sun, this is one that had eluded him. He now adds the Breeders' Cup turf to what is going to be likely a Hall of Fame resume at some point. But what a performance here by Bricks and Mortar. Kurt, we touched on it in the intro to the race, that this is a horse that's overcome a lot in his career. And to be back here where he is today, boy, tip your hat to the connections, tip your hat to the horse.
That's the other part of the story. He missed virtually all of 2018. He had been plagued early in his career by injury. This is a horse that has required a lot of patience and a lot of tender, loving care. And how about the sire, Giants Causeway? The late Giants Causeway sires the first and second place finishers here today, Bricks and Mortar and United, in this Breeders' Cup turf.
When we return, we remember the great Zenyatta and tell you the long shot story of one improbable contender in this year's Breeders' Cup Classic. The 36th running is just ahead. This is the 2019 Breeders' Cup on HRRN, your home for racing's biggest events.
When it comes to the Breeders' Cup Classic at Santa Anita, we've seen everyone. Standing tall, marveling at the feats accomplished below.
As Arcane comes flying on the outside, and he runs wide for Trando Kids and Chris. Here is Arcane to win it in an absolute shocker. He's 99-1.
And pressing the carpet to the bottom now with 100 yards to go. They've got him on the outside, and they're coming down to the finish, and it is Pleasantly Perfect. Man, oh man, Bella, what a day.
Feeling the ground shake, and the roars echo through our peaks.
Mucho Macho Man has the lead close to home. Mucho Macho Man declaration of war will take charge of Final Man. Mucho Macho Man!
From heights which only bighorn sheep dare to scale, we've looked on. All the while cradling gallant champions in our foothills.
What a memorable Breeders' Cup Classic. It's a race for the ages. Bayern, Toast of New York, California Chrome. Bayern, Toast of New York, Bayern has won it.
California Chrome put to the test. Arrowgate, full out. Can he stick with it? California Chrome, Arrowgate still coming. California Chrome, Arrowgate steals the show.
We are the San Gabriel Mountains, once again standing watch, awaiting the next great one to emerge. The moment is near. The Breeders' Cup Classic is next.
Welcome back to Santa Anita Park in Arcadia, California. Mike Pena, Kurt Becker, Dan Mason, Ashley Mayhew, and Bobby Newman bringing you coverage of the 2019 Breeders' Cup. One race left to go as the sun continues to dip down into that western sky, a mix of sun and clouds overhead. It has been a glorious day for the Sporting Kings, with temperatures hovering in the low to mid-80s all day long. We are currently at 80 degrees as we begin to make our way toward that final race, the $6 million Breeders' Cup Classic, now just 47 minutes away, and there may be no greater setting, no greater stage for the Breeders' Cup than right here at Santa Anita, with the majestic San Gabriel Mountains standing watch, looking over this racetrack. And, you know, since the first Breeders' Cup Classic in 1984, the Classic has provided many of the most memorable moments we've seen in thoroughbred racing. But for many, one race and one horse may stand above all others.
It's been 10 years since Zenyatta won the Breeders' Cup Classic. For her jockey, Hall of Famer Mike Smith, the preparations leading up to the race were more nerve-wracking than the race itself.
I just needed to get on. Once she legged me up, then it's me and her. Then I have some sort of control. And so once I was on, it was just about doing the right thing, you know, it was about doing the right thing, following the flow, not doing nothing out of the ordinary, just keeping it as simple as possible. It's amazing how if you do things like that, but the outcome is, when you try to make everything so difficult and try and do this and that, that's when things don't seem to go at least well for me anyway. You know, just when I just focus and really just concentrate on the horse and the race and what makes them the best that they are, what's gotten them there, and keep it simple and keep it real, you know, and And that's what I would do with her. So once I got on, I had a blast. And it was just fun. She would put the show on. She would dance. She'd stand up and tower over all the other horses that to say that I'm not even paying attention to you. You know, she intimidated them. It was crazy. The whole thing, you know, leading up to the race was just as special almost as winning it, to be honest with you.
For Santa Anita track announcer Trevor Denman, who never prepares a race call, Zenyatta's Classic became his signature call and his all-time favorite race.
Well, that is undoubtedly, categorically, the most exciting race I've ever called. And I've been calling races for, 50 years now. People always ask me, what's the best race you've ever watched? And it used to be the 89 Preakness. That was with Sunday Silence and Easy Goer. You know, there was a magnificent race, and it was my best all along until Zenyatta came along. I mean, you just couldn't beat that race. She had everything going for her. She was a filly against the boys. It was a Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic, probably the best race in the world, or one of. And her style of running just made it. She comes from so far back. You know, it's one thing to jump out the gate, go to the lead, and win all the way around. Hey, the point is to get from the starting gate to the finishing line, no matter how you do it. However, having said that, the come-from-behind horses are just so much more exciting. And that particular race that day, wow, I mean, what a race. At the 3/8 pole, I think I can't quote it verbatim, but something to the effect of, Zenyatta wins this one, she's a superstar, something like that, because basically she wasn't going to win. She was too far back, giving too many lengths to too good horses. You know, you can do that in a Grade 3 or a lesser race, but Breeders' Cup Classic, no, you're not going to catch them. And then I remember her turning for home, and she started to pick it up just a little, and you're thinking, well, she might hit the board, but that's it. She's gone from a great horse to a very good horse. And then all of a sudden, wow, I think it was just inside the 8th pole, maybe even a little closer to the 16th pole. I mean, she just kicked into another gear, and I just got so lucky with that call that I happened to spout out the word unbelievable, which is like a four-syllable word, unbelievable. And it was almost like she was striding to those words. You know, obviously she wasn't, but that's what it looked like. And that last 16th of a mile, just, you know, mind-boggling.
Zenyatta has a lot of ground to make up. Zenyatta, if she wins this, she'll be a super horse. She's starting to pick them off, though. Zenyatta going to hook to the outside. Meanwhile, it's Colonel John Summerbird in the red cap. And Zenyatta's come to the outside. Zenyatta coming flying on the grandstand side. Gio Ponti on the inside. Summerbird is right there. This is unbelievable. Zenyatta, what a performance. One we'll never forget. Looked impossible, but it is Zenyatta, still unbeaten under Mike Smith.
Mike Smith summed up Zenyatta best.
Every moment with her was amazing, but you would have to say that was the one right there. She became something bigger than a fantastic racehorse. She became an icon.
Well, 10 years ago, right here at Santa Anita, Zenyatta became larger than life here at Santa Anita, positioned just over to our right by the saddling paddock, a Zenyatta statue. And, Kurt, the statue even looks like she's larger than life.
That's true. And, you know, you think back to that big old blazed face, had that big white birthmark on her face and the white shadow roll across the nose, and she would come onto the track sporting those green and pink silks of Mr. and Mrs. Jerome Moss, who owned her during her racing time, and, of course, trained her John Sheriffs. And Zenyatta, fondly remembered by racing fans all across the country on this 10-year anniversary of her win here at Santa Anita.
Up next, trainer Saffy Joseph Jr. and his journey from Barbados to the Breeders' Cup Classic. It's the 2019 Breeders' Cup on HRRN, your home for racing's biggest events.
You're listening to the Breeders' Cup World Championships on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence and visitbarbados.org.
They come to the top of the stretch. Azud is still in with the chance in behind horses. Best Pal is only four lengths from the lead. Pleasant Tango is coming hard. Kissing Chris is also right there. Arcang is coming in between horses. And it's still Bertrando with an onslaught of challengers. Here comes Arcang. A huge upset looming here as Arcang comes flying on the outside. And he runs by Bertrando, Kissing Chris. Here is Arcang to win it in an absolute shocker. He's 99-1 in the $3 million Classic. And Bertrando, the favorite, is defeated in the final yards. Absolutely shocking and impossible victory, Paramutually speaking.
That's Tom Durkin with the call of the 1993 Breeders' Cup Classic right here at Santa Anita. The roars from the crowd just echoing through the San Gabriel Mountains. Who can forget that one? The official off odds, 133-1, still the largest upset in the history of the Breeders' Cup, are Kong in 1993. Well, one long shot in this year's race is Math Wizard. He breaks from post number one. Now, he's not 99-1, but he is 25-1. And for his trainer, just being here today is a dream come true and the culmination of a lifetime dedicated to racing and to the horse.
In 2009, at 22 years old, trainer Safi Joseph Jr. won the Barbados Triple Crown with Are You Talking to Me? 10 years later, he claimed Math Wizard for $25,000 and won the Grade One $1 million Pennsylvania Derby. It was an emotional victory.
The more emotion comes because it's what you dreamed of. You dream of winning these big races, and when you see you're competing against Bob Baffert, which is someone you grew up watching from when you're young, like a Hall of Fame trainer, and a lot of other good trainers, into Mark Cassian, and you just watch the horses before the race. I was watching them come into the paddock, and I saw War Bill come in, and you look at him. He's a big, imposing horse, very good looking. He looked like he was going to run his huge race, and then you see Improbable come in. Mr. Money's a really good looking horse, and our horse is not an overly big horse, and he could lay it down on the line and beat them. It's pretty special just to know the horse where he's come from, and I've come from Barbados also to live a dream, and we're one step closer to getting there.
Growing up, Safi watched his father, the man they call Big Saf, train at Garrison Savannah in Barbados. The Joseph Barn is still a family affair, with the father and son often butting heads, but always coming to a unanimous decision.
Oh, he's big, big. I learned so much from him, like just growing up and watching him train and watching. He is a very good trainer, and we discuss things and we argue a lot, but we always argue for the betterment of the horse. Like, we come up with a good decision. Like, he's tougher on me than the owners are. Like, I'll tell him the owners are happy, but you're putting more pressure on me than the owner, and that's how we come up with good decisions. Like, he's good at looking at the horse too, and I've learned a lot from him, and it just works. So it's basically, where two minds are better than one, and we come up with good decisions. He wasn't here for the race, he was in Barbados. He's been in Barbados for the last few months, so he got to watch it in Barbados, but it was special for him. Like, he was anxious to come back.
There would be no horse racing without dreams. They are the sport's greatest commodity.
That's why we're here. I envision it every day. Like, I've probably won more Kentucky Derbies in my dream. In my babe, it's just like going through, like, that's what keeps you going in this racing. You have to have dreams. If you don't have dreams, you're not gonna move forward. And so there's a lot more rough days than good days. But every day you just think of the future, one day hopefully winning the Derby, one day winning the Breeders' Cup. Yes, I've envisioned it, but there were times where I didn't know if it was going to happen. There were times where things were looking bleak, and you didn't ever know if you're going to get the right opportunity or the right horse to. We've always done well in the claiming game, but you need the one horse just to let someone know, or let other people know that, yes, he's not only a claiming trainer. Like, sometimes people want to branch you or categorize you. And then you get this kind of horse, and it shows, well, we have a good team, and we're able to take care of a horse, a good horse, just the same way as we are take care of a lesser horse.
The Breeders' Cup Classic is run on the day when the whole world is watching. And coincidentally, it was also 10 years ago when Safi was watching his favorite edition from Barbados.
Every year you look forward to watching the Breeders' Cup. Like, you just, like, in Barbados, you want to watch it on, obviously, like, whatever TV station is on, because you want to see all the stories, and when you watch it, it's emotional. Many Breeders' Cups, you watch it, and you just dream, hopefully, of getting there one day. And it's Zenyatta, when she won, that was amazing, where she came from, and then when she got beat, that was a heartbreaker, because you never wanted to get beat. She was unbeaten, obviously, and it hurt me when she got beat, but it was probably one of her best races ever.
Does Safi think Math Wizard can win the Breeders' Cup Classic?
Anything can happen in a horse race, and the only way you could win is to be in there. I mean, if you look at Mind That Bird going into the Derby, you could look at it before, after. There's no way he should have won the Derby, but he won the Derby, and then he backed it up with obviously a good run in the Preakness. So with Math Wizard on paper, I was looking at the PPs yesterday, and I mean, he won last time, but that race won't get the job done in the Breeders' Cup Classic. He's going to need to find 4 to 5 lengths, and it's a horse race. So if you look at it again, in the Pennsylvania Derby, he probably said no, and he did it. Going into the Classic, he's probably going to be 40-1 again. Once he's doing well, I think he's going to run a good race. Whether it's going to be good enough or not, we'll find out.
Safi has kept Math Wizard on schedule up to the big race.
With the horses, you try to keep them in routine. If something works, you try to, most of the time, keep them in their element. And we're going to try that again. Hopefully it works again.
How does Safi envision Math Wizard's run in the 2019 Breeders' Cup Classic?
Realistically, like in Pennsylvania, it looked like they had so much speed. The race started and they were walking up front. And I actually didn't mind that, like, during the race, because I knew what kind of turn of foot he has. That's probably his best element the horse has, or his best asset, is that he has a really good turn of foot. So, like, he quickened off of a slow pace. And maybe it allowed him, because the pace was slow, it allowed him to keep closer than he normally would, so he didn't have to make up as much ground. as far as being in the race, it's hard to say. Like, sometimes you drop a race and you think it's going to be speed and there's no speed. And you think it's not going to be speed and there's speed. So that's going to be up to the rider to break him, put him in a good spot, and hopefully he runs a good race. I would like him to be in front at the end.
Well, Safi certainly isn't alone in wanting Math Wizard to be in front at the end of this year's Breeders' Cup Classic, some 3,900 miles away from Santa Anita in the tiny Caribbean island of Barbados. An entire country will be cheering for him, and they'll cheer him on today with Math Wizard. His wife Morgan is here, his young son Rocco, his young daughter Sienna. It's a family affair, as you heard, for Safi Joseph Jr. They are currently 25-1 with Math Wizard. Kurt, what's the key to Math Wizard being able to pull off this upset here today?
Well, he's got a tough, tall order. Now, what he's got going for him is the fact that, as Safi mentioned in that piece, there ended up being no pace up front in the Pennsylvania Derby, and he was able to close into a race with no pace and pull the upset. The problem with that is he faces a whole different caliber, not only a larger field, but a deeper field here today. It's just going to take a combination of the right kind of scenario and a little bit of racing luck, and in fact, at 25-1, it's going to take a lot of racing luck to make it happen, but it doesn't matter. He's already pulled off a shocker in a $1 million grade one race, and that is to his credit as a trainer, Safi Joseph Jr.
Let's go trackside, rejoin Bobby Newman. And Bobby, what are the keys for the other long shots in here? Are there other long shots that can pull off an upset?
Well, it looks like the three main long shots are the three inside runners, Math Wizard, Seeking the Soul, and Owendale. And all three of them look like they need an honest pace up front for them to run into. None of them have a whole lot of early speed. They all do their best running from off the pace, which has been a bit of a tough call here on this deeper Santa Anita track. They haven't been winning from too far back these last couple days, so we're going to need to see a faster than expected pace up front for some of these long shots to get the job done.
All right, we're going to find out in just about 30 minutes from right now. Ashley Mayhew is standing by in the paddock with an owner who is maybe looking to pull off a bit of an upset of his own. Ashley?
I'm joined by Vinny Viola of St. Elias Stable, who's going to look to get the Breeders' Cup win today with Vino Rosso. Vinny, what's it mean to be here after a strong three-year-old campaign and then taking the fall off and missing the Breeders' Cup?
Well, you know, Todd Pletcher is just a superb trainer. He's a superb stallion maker. The horse is going to be going to Spendthrift. This is his last race unless Mr. Hughes decides it's not. So you can interview him about that. He's right here. And we're very blessed because a plan, we put a plan together after the, I'm drawing a blank now, the Travers. And it came to fruition. And really, we're very blessed. We feel very, very blessed. It's a wonderful horse. He's an honest horse.
How proud are you of him with how he's transitioned into this as a four-year-old? Because sometimes that transition's a little bit difficult.
Yeah, you know, sometimes horses, it comes together. Vino Rosso is like a very, very gangly, super physically capable high school athlete going to his third year. And sometimes they got to learn sort of the discipline of the sport, even these wonderful equine athletes. For Vino, I think the race that did it probably was when he came in fourth by a couple few lengths in the quarter. He came out of that race, I think, with an understanding about trying and winning. So we're very, very, very happy with him. And it's going to be a tough race. Very good horses in this race. Got a great horse on our outside in Coat of Honor, and of course McKenzie's playing on his home court. There's other horses here that can do it. Mongolian Groom, Elate's a fantastic filly. So we're just, this is the pinnacle of our sport. And anybody who ever doubted the majesty and health of our sport, they need to be here today. This is our Super Bowl.
All right, thanks, Vinny. Good luck.
When we return, it's time to meet the field for this year's Breeders' Cup Classic. Post time is just 26 minutes away. This is the 2019 Breeders' Cup on HRRN, your home for racing's biggest events.
This is Joe Rocco Jr.
I'm John Velasquez.
My name is Victor Espinosa.
This is jockey Brian Hernandez, and you're listening to HRRN.
You're listening to the Breeders' Cup World Championships on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence and visitbarbados.org.
He's really worked well coming up to this race. He looks great. His coat couldn't look better. And he just needs to get away from the gate. And, he's got to be put into the race first. And then after that, then it can shake out what you want to do with him. But, last time he broke, he was there. and all of a sudden he just took him back and eased him off, and then he moved up again, and then I think he, Mike, I told him, you know, don't let him do too much. Like, what I meant, don't do extra, you know, more than he has to do. And I think he took it like, I'll just go easy on him, you know. But and the only reason I made the move is that horse has not won a race here with Mike at this meet. And I always hear, well, he can't go that far, whatever. I know he can go that far. I was frustrated, and I made the move. But I've done that move before. It's worked, and sometimes it doesn't work. Watch him come and beat me with Yoshida.
Always good for a laugh. That's Hall of Famer Bob Baffert talking about the decision to replace regular rider Mike Smith on McKenzie, replace him with Joel Rosario. Mike ends up on Japanese bred Yoshida for Bill Mott in the upcoming Classic. Bob said, hey, the decision is simple. He just has never won on McKenzie here at Santa Anita. He's hoping that Joel can find a way to get McKenzie over that hurdle here this afternoon. We're 21 minutes away from the Breeders' Cup. The sun continuing to set over there in the western sky. The dignitaries, the horsemen, the connections of all 11 Breeders' Cup Classic contenders are now in the paddock area. It is jam-packed. We are overlooking that paddock for you here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Around the outside of the paddock, the fans have gathered. We can see cell phones up in the air trying to get pictures of the horses as they now begin to make their way from the undercover saddling enclosure out into the walking ring. And it's going to be quite a scene as they make their way in. $6 million on the line. Grade one, this race for the three-year-olds and up, a mile and a quarter on a fast main track here at the foothills of the San Gabriel Mountains. Let's meet them now. We begin with number one. That is Math Wizard, trained by Safi Joseph Jr. Just heard his story. Owned by John Finelli, Khalid Mishrif, Cash is King, LC Racing, Collar Meal Vitelli Stables, Ionis Zumis and Bassett Stables. That's quite the ownership group with Math Wizard. They'll all be cheering through the stretch. Ricardo Santana Jr. is aboard.
This is a horse who began the year racing in $25,000 claiming races, and here he's going for the $6 million Breeders' Cup Classic.
30-1 on Math Wizard from the inside post position here today. Number two is Seeking the Soul, sent to the post by trainer Dallas Seward for owner Charles Fipke. Brian Hernandez Jr., the man aboard.
It's been a tough campaign for Seeking the Soul. Was seventh, beaten 18 lengths at today's distance in the Pacific Classic.
And he is 30-1. Number three, that's Owendale, owned by Rupp Racing, trained by Brad Cox, ridden today by Hall of Famer Javier Castellano.
Has won the Ohio Derby and the Oklahoma Derby, but this will be his first test against older horses.
Another big price, too. He is 20-1 as Owendale. Number four, that is War of Will, racing in the hot pink colors of owner Gary Barber, sent to the post by trainer Mark Cassie. He gives a leg up to jockey Tyler Gaffalione.
This is the horse who won the Preakness with a dream trip, courtesy of Gaffalione, but that's been five long months ago.
14-1 on War of Will. Number five, the Japanese-bred Yoshida, trained by Hall of Famer Bill Mott for the ownership group of China Horse Club International, Windstar Farm, and head of Plains Partners. Hall of Famer Mike Smith is in the irons.
Ran a closing fourth at Churchill in the Breeders' Cup Classic a year ago after lagging far behind early.
6-1, Yoshida getting some play here in the Breeders' Cup Classic. Number six, that is Elate, racing in the colors of Adele Dilschneider and Claiborne Farm. Bill Mott, the Hall of Fame trainer, Jose Ortiz is aboard.
This mare 3-for-3 at today's mile and a quarter distance. That's all well and good, but that was always against fillies and mares. She has to try against males here today.
Elate is 9-1. Number seven is Higher Power. Hieronis Racing, the owners of Higher Power. John Sadler trains. He'll leg up jockey Flavian Pratt.
Higher Power won the Pacific Classic at Del Mar, but here at Santa Anita, beaten twice by a combined 15 lengths.
9-1 on Higher Power. Number eight, that is McKenzie. Bob Baffert, the Hall of Fame trainer for owner Michael Pegram, Carl Watson, and Paul Whiteman. Joel Rosario, the new rider.
Worst performance of McKenzie's career 1 year ago. Breeders' Cup Classic at Churchill was 12th, beaten 31 lengths.
Not stopping the public, though. He is 5-2. With 18 minutes to post, he is your favorite, is McKenzie. Number nine, that is Mongolian Groom. Mongolian Stable, the owners. Enibish Ganbat is the trainer. He'll leg up Abel Cedillo this afternoon.
Ran huge to win the grade one. Awesome again over the surface here at Santa Anita the last week of September.
14-1 on Mongolian Groom. Number 10 in the 11-horse field is Vino Rosso. Todd Pletcher trains for owners Rapoli Stable and St. Elias Stable. Irad Ortiz Jr. aboard.
Only one win in four tries at a mile and a quarter, but that win for Vino Rosso came back in May here at Santa Anita.
Taking money, he is 5-1 as Vino Rosso. And the outside horse, number 11, Code of Honor. Racing in the green and gold colors of owner William S. Farish. Claude Shug McGahee, the trainer, and John Velasquez is the jockey.
Shug McGahee, 0-7 career in the Breeders' Cup Classic. John Velasquez, he's never won the Breeders' Cup Classic. He's been runner-up on three occasions.
7-2, the odds on Code of Honor from the outside post. And that's the field for this year's running of the Breeders' Cup Classic coming up now in just 17 minutes. Ashley Maylou is in a crowded paddock here today. Ashley, what can you tell us?
Well, I'm almost standing on the horse path at this point. The paddock is so crowded, but we've talked about the fashion and everything that you see here. And something to note is the connections of Mongolian Groom. Some of them are actually wearing their traditional attire, and it's almost this royal blue or an electric blue, in my opinion. It's quite gorgeous to see. But, you know, you look at them, and they did have a win with Mongolian Saturday at Keeneland. But something else to note is their fan base doesn't even all fit in here. There are a couple fans and people with the horse that are on the outside rail for the paddock, and they have flags and their colors for their horse, and it's truly remarkable to see that.
All right, well, when we come back, we'll rejoin Ashley in the paddock, and we'll take you trackside for the post parade, where Bobby has a bird's eye view of all the contenders. Then it's post time for the Breeders' Cup Classic. You're listening to the 36th Breeders' Cup World Championships on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence and visitbarbados.org.
You're listening to the Breeders' Cup World Championships on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence and visitbarbados.org.
On the far outside, Seeking the Soul is getting a piece of things, and Draft Pick is down at the rail. McKenzie right up to Mongolian Groom at the top of the stretch. Mongolian Groom digging in very gamely. McKenzie is a half length behind him, and Mongolian Groom kicks on smartly inside the final eighth of a mile. McKenzie is all out, but today belongs to Mongolian Groom. It's Mongolian Groom, wire to wire in the awesome again under Abel Sadil. McKenzie settles for second. Higher Power third, Seeking the Soul with fourth.
Welcome back to Santa Anita Park in Arcadia, California. Frank Marimatti with the call of the Grade 1 Awesome Again Stakes. Mongolian Groom pulling off a huge 25-1 upset over McKenzie and Higher Power. That was on September 28th. He is back in the Breeders' Cup Classic. He and all the contenders have made their way into the walking ring directly in front of us. They are now leaving that walking ring. The call has gone out for riders up. The jockeys are aboard, and they're heading out onto the track through the tunnel here at Santa Anita. They'll be on the racetrack at the foothills of the San Gabriel Mountains in that post parade coming up shortly. You know, Kurt, one of the storylines associated with the Classic is the filly, Elate, taking on the boys here this afternoon. And Bill Mott, her Hall of Fame trainer, talked about making the decision to run here in the Classic as opposed to going in the Distaff.
Yeah, I've been wanting to do it for 2 years, actually. You know, last year, that's what I wanted to do with her. You know, she only raced two times. We had a little problem with some soundness issues, and we had to give her some time, and we had to, you know, stop training before the Breeders' Cup. But I wanted to go to the Classic last year with her, just because she's already proven so well at a mile and a quarter. She's 3-for-3. She's unbeaten at the distance. And she's a big, strong filly, and I know the boys are tough, but, you know, in this particular case, we've got nothing to lose. I mean, it's a win-win for us. That is the way I feel, just giving it a try. And I hope she runs well, and I hope she proves me right that it's the right spot to go. But I'm anxious to watch her run. She's a good mare, and, you know, sometimes you get a horse that gets that distance, and that's their best distance. Sometimes it's to their advantage, and I think that's the case with her. You know, a lot of horses are, no matter how talented they are at a mile and a mile and an eighth, I think sometimes when you add that extra furlong, it changes the whole game around.
Yeah, it certainly does. And Bill Mott feeling pretty confident in Elate. You heard him say he's wanted to do this for the past couple of seasons. He thinks she fits in this Breeders' Cup Classic.
I think it's shocking because of how conservative he is with his horses. I mean, think back, you know, he's the trainer of Country House, who ended up the winner of the Kentucky Derby. And it's almost like, you know, the next day Country House sees his shadow and Bill says, we're putting him on the shelf for the rest of the year. I mean, that's just the extent he will go to preserve his horses and to make sure that if he's going to put them in the entry box, he's going to put them in with a chance to win. So you take a conservative trainer like that, who says, I've been waiting for 2 years to put this mare into the Breeders' Cup Classic at a mile and a quarter. That speaks volumes, and she comes into this race in the best shape of her life.
A huge crowd here on Breeders' Cup Saturday, more than 67,000. The horses are out there on the main track in the post parade in front of this huge crowd. Let's go trackside and check in with Bobby Newman. Bobby?
Guys, the field for the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic passing in front of me right now. They will head down the long home stretch here at Santa Anita all the way up to the top of the stretch for this mile and a quarter start. Number 8, McKenzie, couldn't look any better. If you're worried about him coming into this race, looks-wise, he looks like he's absolutely ready to go. He is taking it all in. He's got his ears pricked. He looks as happy as can be. Number 11, Code of Honor, on his toes underneath John Velasquez. Interesting to note, number 4, War of Will, the 5, Yoshida. They both look good in the post parade. War of Will getting the blinkers on this afternoon. He's been racing without blinkers throughout his career. Trainer Mark Cassie putting the blinkers on this Son of War front for the first time today. Normally, when trainers do that, they're looking to get the horse a little more focused, maybe a little bit more early speed out of the horse. So War of Will, who's shown early speed in the past, maybe he's going to be one of the ones who's going to show a little bit more speed than usual in the early part of the race. Be interesting to see if Longshot War of Will is one of the front runners. And number 5, Yoshida, maybe the best closer in the field. Let's not forget that Yoshida finished second to McKenzie in the Grade 1 Whitney back in early August up at Saratoga, right now up on the board at 6-1. So Mike Smith doesn't get to ride the favorite McKenzie, but he picks up a pretty good substitute in Yoshida. And wouldn't that be an interesting story if Yoshida was the one who denied McKenzie this afternoon?
Yeah, it certainly would be. Certainly possible, too. Yoshida has a big late kick. He'll be running at the end. You know, Code of Honor and Shug McGahee. Look, Shug McGahee is somebody who has had so much success over the years. Obviously a Hall of Famer. He's saddled so many great horses. But, Kurt, this is one race, the Breeders' Cup Classic, that he has tried to win for many, many years. You remember it was 30 years ago that he sent out Easy Goer against Sunday Silence, and Sunday Silence beat Easy Goer that day. He hasn't been able to get over that hurdle here in the Breeders' Cup Classic. Does he do it with Code of Honor here today?
It would be a big storyline, not only for Shug, but also for jockey John Velasquez. I mean, here's two guys who have combined to win a lot of Breeders' Cup races. Neither one of them has ever won the Classic. You know, the one person in the equation with Code of Honor who has won the Classic is the owner breeder, William S. Farish of Lane's End Farm. Don't forget, you go back to AP Indy. And he was the co-breeder and co-owner of AP Indy, who won the Breeders' Cup Classic. So William S. Farish has been here before. People call him Will. People call him Mr. Farish. People call him Ambassador Farish. He's a former ambassador to the United Kingdom. He turned 80 years of age this year. It was 40 years ago that he founded Lane's End Farm just outside of Lexington, Kentucky. He is one of the grand gentlemen of horse racing, and he and Shug McGahee and John Velasquez trying to team up to get Code of Honor home a winner here today.
All right, we'll find out coming up in just over 6 minutes. Let's go back trackside to Bobby. Bobby?
Looking at the horses warming up for the Breeders' Cup Classic, both number 1, Math Wizard, and the mare, number 6, Elate, deciding to break away from their lead ponies respectively and do their warm-ups by themselves. Neither of them really going into a full gallop. They just seem like they'd be they prefer to be by themselves and kind of taking it all in as they stand around, walk around on the far turn here at Santa Anita. Spoke about Math Wizard a lot earlier. This is very interesting. This horse not only was in for $25,000 claiming tag earlier this year, but he was actually in for a $16,000 claiming tag. As a maiden, he was claimed for $16,000, put in for a $25,000 tag, claimed again by the current owner and owners and trainer, and look what they've done with this horse. Now, what an absolute strange trip it has been for Math Wizard, who obviously was not very highly thought of at one time in his career about a year ago, boy, is he highly thought of now.
Yeah, he certainly is. And, boy, a rags-to-riches story. If he could ever find a way to pull off this victory here in the Breeders' Cup Classic and the three-year-old championship. Also on the line, some top three-year-olds in here, including Code of Honor, who is the most highly regarded of those for trainer Shug McGahee, looking for his first win in the Breeders' Cup Classic. Here comes number 11, Code of Honor now. He's coming into the outside post position under Hall of Famer John Velasquez. Frank Miramati has the call of the Breeders' Cup Classic on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They're in the gate. And they're off in the Longines Breeders' Cup Classic. McKenzie comes out running. So does War of Will, who takes the lead and will try to cross over. O'Neill is up close, so is Seeking the Soul on the inside. Now Mongolian Groom joins the fray, and Mongolian Groom puts his head in front. Vino Rosso is prominent in the early stages. The mare Elate is racing three off the rail and approximately four lengths off the lead. Higher Power is just outside of her. Two and a half more to Code of Honor, who's on the outside of Yoshida, and Math Wizard is at the back of the field. War of will set the pace, and he opens up two lengths. McKenzie a joint second inside of Mongolian Groom. They're followed by Seeking the Soul, who's down at the rail. Owendale between rivals. Vino Rosso is three wide, five lengths off the lead. Higher Power is next, followed by Elate. Yoshida having to steady ever so slightly, and he is now about 10 lengths or so off the pace. Elate is two and a half lengths in front of him, and so is Code of Honor. Another three back to Math Wizard, who trails. Less than 5/8 of a mile to go in the Longines Breeders' Cup Classic, and it's Tyler Gaffleone and War of Will dictating the terms. McKenzie is in second, just in front of Mongolian Groom. Now it's four more lengths back to Vino Rosso as they pass the half-mile pole. Higher Power is next. He's on the outside of Owendale, who's asked for a bit more. At the rail, Seeking the Soul. Code of Honor is starting to run now. He's looking for a seam and finding it in between horses as War of Will has now lost the lead. Yoshida is at the back of the field, more than a dozen off the pace. Elate is dropping out of it, and then Math Wizard as McKenzie has taken the lead at the top of the stretch. And Vino Rosso is coming to challenge Mongolian Groom is third, then Higher Power and War of Will. They're at the top of the stretch. Joel Rosario has done his job. It's up to McKenzie, and Vino Rosso is right to him on the outside. Vino Rosso has taken the lead, and he powers away under Iran Ortiz Jr. Vino Rosso, like father, like son, the son of Carlin, romps in the Longines Breeders' Cup Classic. McKenzie was clearly second best. Then it was Higher Power, and a belated rally came from the lane in front of Math Wizard.
Vino Rosso here this afternoon at Santa Anita uncorks a powerful stretch rally. He runs down favored McKenzie, and boy, what an effort here today. You heard Frank Miramati in the call reference his sire, Curlin, who also won the Breeders' Cup Classic. And Kurt, I got to tell you, he looked a lot like Curlin coming down the stretch today.
He did, and this is a horse that folks have penalized. Going back to his three-year-old year, he had lackluster efforts in the Kentucky Derby and in the Travers. But then you heard the owners talk to Ashley Mayu in the pre-race interview in the paddock about how in the Carter Handicap, a 7-furlong race, this was when this horse grew up. That was a fourth-place finish in a sprint race back in April in New York. But the owners say that's when he learned how to buckle down and learned if you're going to win races, he learned you're going to have to fight. And boy, did he fight today, and he comes home a winner in this $6 million classic.
10-8-7-6 unofficially. Vino Rosso defeating McKenzie. Higher Power was third. Elate, the mare, was fourth. Let's go back trackside, get a check-in with Bobby. Bobby?
Guys, it was a tremendous race. A little bit of bad news right now is number 9 Mongolian Groom suffered an injury in the home stretch, and the ambulance is out right now. Don't know the extent of it. It doesn't look good, though. Taking nothing away, though, from the win of number 10, Vino Rosso, who got a tremendous ride under Irad Ortiz. Interesting ride for Joel Rosario aboard number 8, McKenzie. Put him into the race early. Looked like he tried to make a move going to the backstretch to the inside of War of Will, and steadied going to the backstretch. Had to drop back a few lengths, then went to the outside of War of Will. Got a good trip going into the far turn. I think he was simply second best today. Even that early trouble, I don't think he would have gotten the win. An impressive win by Vino Rosso, a good run by McKenzie, and Higher Power, who never comes from way, way out of it, did come from way out of it this afternoon to finish third.
Final running time for the mile and a quarter over the fast main track here at Santa Anita this afternoon, 2:02. 8.80. For more on the Breeders' Cup Classic, let's rejoin our Ashley Mayhew. Ashley?
To finally kind of wrap up the day, I want to wrap up on what I saw. After Jose Ortiz got off of a late, he actually went back up to her after weighing in to just give her a big hug. And that really kind of solidified the last 2 days of racing here. And wrapping up the Classic, got some quotes from several people, including Safi Joseph Jr. with Math Wizard. You know, he said that the horse ran a good race and he was a little further back than he expected, but he was happy with the trip. And most importantly, the horse appears safe and sound and hopefully to be back next year. Also spoke with Joel Rosario, and he thought he was going to win this one, he said he was moving good, and that last little part, he said he had to actually start asking a lot just because he could feel the other horses coming.
Yeah, and of course, Joel aboard the favorite McKenzie. Going to come up just a little bit short here today. Ran a great race, Kurt. I think redeemed himself even finishing second here today.
Yeah, he did. And this was a horse who disappointed last year in the Breeders' Cup Classic. He's had his critics. He's had big moments where he, for whatever reason, he didn't get there. And even though he doesn't win today, he ran his heart out in a great ride by Joel Rosario to at least put him in a position he had a shot down the stretch.
You know, it's interesting. You think about Vino Rosso and the Gunthers, the breeders of Vino Rosso. You reflect back on that run through the Triple Crown with Justify. These two were buddies throughout that early days of Justify, weren't they?
That's true. They grew up together on the same farm, on the Gunther farm near Lexington, Kentucky. They palled around a lot together as babies. Justify goes on to win the Triple Crown. Vino Rosso gets out from under his shadow this year at age 4 and brings home a Breeders' Cup Classic.
All right, that's going to do it for us here at Santa Anita this afternoon. Today's coverage of the 36th Breeders' Cup has been brought to you by Red Brand Fence and visitbarbados.org. Thanks to our team for today's race, engineer Sean C., producers Lee Delapina and my beautiful wife Michelle. Production assistance provided by Justin Taylor, Keith O'Brien, Jude Feld, and Megan Devine. Special thanks to Pete Rotundo and Dora Delgado with Breeders' Cup and Darren Rodriguez here at Santa Anita. Please join us every week throughout the year for exclusive talk shows and live race coverage of the biggest events in horse racing. You can see a complete schedule and listen online at horseracingradio.net. Now for Kurt Becker, Dan Mason, Ashley Mayhew, and Bobby Newman, I'm Mike Penna. Thanks for joining us. You've been listening to the 2019 Breeders' Cup on HRRN, your home for racing's biggest events.